So before we get started, I don't know if you've seen on social media or have been paying attention at all, but there have been a lot of prophetic words released this year about what the Lord is doing among women. Lou Engel, who is a spiritual father to Parker and I, has pioneered so many massive prayer movements across the world. I actually don't know if anyone is as anointed as Lou to catalyze prayer movements. Like, the man has filled, I don't know, like 1,000 stadiums. It's like, it's pretty insane. Like, everything he prays happens, probably because he fasts a lot. But he's one of those people where Parker and I really look up to him, because when he releases a word from prayer, from dreams, you just know, like, he's not a liar. So when he says something, you're like, oh man, like, this is true. This is what the Lord is doing. And so last year, around June, Jeremiah Johnson had came for our national camp meeting, which we have coming up this June, 6th through 9th, which is awesome. I think we have free registrations through April, so make sure to register for that. I think we have right now over 700 people registered, coming from around the country to come to our farm to get into the presence of the Lord. A lot of you have come to this church through Saturate, which is amazing. I love that our church, within our church, we have a revival movement, which is so cool because not a lot of churches do. But last year, Jeremiah Johnson came as one of our speakers, and he'll be here next Sunday, which is super exciting. So make sure to bring all of your demon-possessed friends to come in and let Jeremiah deal with it. So, but we're sitting at the table, and Parker and I, we believe that you should honor prophets. You honor prophetic words. I actually don't like to get lots of prophetic words. Anyone else? I don't like to get them because I'm obedient to the Lord. And I actually believe when a prophet releases a word that it's a call to obedience. And it's an invitation from the Lord for us to step into the word. So sometimes people are like, that prophetic word didn't come to pass. That prophet must be false. Or you might have just been disobedient. Because I always see it as a door that you can walk into. When City Jacobs released that we were going to have property, well, then we needed to fundraise for property. Amen? So we don't just sit in our homes and wait for the angels to make the words come to pass. But when prophets release words, we walk in them. I think it's good to read the Old Testament and see the weight of the prophets, see that nations were blessed or judged by how they responded to prophets. So Jeremiah gave us a word last year, and he said, Jesse, he's like, you know, I believe that you're going to be a part of helping Lou with catalyzing 1 million women to Washington for the sake of the nation. He goes, you know, I actually see you transitioning more as a prophet in the next year. And little did Jeremiah know that right before that, Parker had commissioned me as a prophet of this church. And Jeremiah said, Jesse, there's an anointing on you to tear down Jezebel. Woohoo! Who wants that? I didn't. It's the worst. I was like, I think I'm good without dealing with Jezebel. But he was like, you know, the Lord is going to call you into this. And I'm someone, and I actually encourage all of you to be like this. I don't ever want to choose the path of making my own way. You know, there's a worship song, and I always sing it over myself. I sing lots of worship songs throughout the day. It's like a hodgepodge mixtape of worship and prophetic. Like, in the house park all the time, it's like, what is happening? That's like 10 different songs. I'm like, I know. I love it. Just little tiny bridges. But I was singing this song, and I just felt the Lord just sing. And there's a part where it says, you made a way when there was no way. You guys know that song? And that's something just I release all the time over my family. I just sing it. I'm like, you made a way when there was no way. Like, you made a way when there was no way, right? And I just want that to always be my testimony. Like, you made a way when there was no way. And I refuse to be the kind of Christian that makes my own way, right? Especially in the traveling preaching circuit, there are lots that are making their own way. And Parker always says this, and I agree, that when you make something happen in your own strength, you have to sustain it in the flesh. And I don't ever want to manufacture something that the Lord is not on. And so Jeremiah releases the word, and I was like, okay, well, I believe it. And so if the door opens, I'll step into it. 2 months later, Lou Engel calls, and he's like, Jesse, I need you to help me rally 1 million women to the mall. And I said, yes, sir. Jeremiah, the prophet, already gave me the word. You just opened the door, and now it's my responsibility to walk in it, right? I wasn't calling up Lou, getting into his DMs, like, listen, this is what the word of the Lord is. No, I wait for the opportunity. And a lot of us need to wait with patience and expectation. So when the word of the Lord comes to pass, you see the open door and can walk in it, right? So anyway, I've been working with Lou and the team this last few months, actually. And October 12th, they're rallying 1 million women to the mall. And I actually don't think any other person in America could rally 1 million women except for Lou. And there is so much excitement across the earth for what is going to take place. So I really briefly want to share this video from Lou, and then we'll get into the message.
In 1997, an extraordinary event took place. 1.25 million men, promise keepers, gathered to the mall in Washington, D.C. to pray for this nation. That on September 2nd, the year 2000, 450,000 young people primarily gathered to fast and pray for 12 hours. Out of Promise Keepers came this movement called The Call, and for 24 years, there have been gatherings in stadiums and arenas across the nation and in the nations of the earth that I believe has been mounting up a prayer storm that maybe now we will begin to see the answer to those cries. And then 2017, I had a dream, and in that dream, as far and wide as I could see, women were coming everywhere to hear the book of Esther be taught. I'm the only man in that crowd with my assistant. He gives me an old Bible. It's the call of Mordecai to mobilize what I'm looking at. The movement was filled with a sense of revival. And in the dream, a woman stands up and she says these two words in the book of Esther actually mean Nazgul. I exploded out of the dream, instantly knowing what it meant, because I watched the third part of The Lord of the Rings, where the Nazgul Witch King is destroying the armies of men. And he says, no man can kill me. But the king's daughter takes off her helmet, lets her hair down, and says, I am no man. And she pierces the Nazgul Witch King. I wake up and I know the Lord is saying, there is coming a righteous women's movement that is going to gain authority in America over principalities and powers, ideologies that are seeking to destroy the children of this nation. Then I begin to hear of this Her Voice movement, the woman named Jenny Darnley, and she was hearing about what I was calling for. And we joined together in 2022. We began dreaming about 1 million women on the mall in DC. The movement was initiated. And now we have come to 2024, and we're calling 1 million women to the mall in D.C. to finish what was started. Esther was raised up at a time that if there wasn't a shift, they would lose a whole nation. We're calling every man of Mordecai, every woman in Esther, come to the mall on the Day of Atonement and dare to believe that God will shift history, save a nation, as we pray, fast, and stand on behalf of the children, your families, and your nation. So on this Day of Atonement, where the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorposts of our national guilt, you've come to the defining moment, just like Esther was brought to a defining moment. Will you be there? And you'll say to your children and your grandchildren, we were there when God gathered the Esthers and saved a nation. Don't miss this defining moment. For such a time as this, you've been brought into the kingdom.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just, if you know anything about us, I just refuse to be a bystander when we see across the nation ideologies being taught to our children. We see, obviously, the rise of abortion in certain states as Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I don't know if you know, but if you are a Christian, which means that you are a follower of Jesus, you are actually called and mandated by the Holy Spirit to take a stand. And I know that some people are like, well, what happens? Why? Who cares if a million women come? Why do I need to go? Listen, I think this needs to be the number one priority, especially for every woman in this house. Okay, because listen, here's what's up. We actually believe in Salt Church that when we pray, different things happen, right? We actually believe that prayer changes things. And so what happens when a million women gather to pray? Everything. Everything changes. Everything changes with what you believe and what you do to back what you believe, right? And so here's the thing. Lou has said that he believes that the future of America hinges on this gathering. So I take that very seriously. I have not taken preaching engagements. It's cost me financially to say yes to this assignment, right? And I would grieve if one woman in this house was not there, okay? It's a 5.5-hour drive, so we're all going to drive there beforehand. We're going to go Thursday. Parker's like, we're going to organize a little field trip to the Museum of the Bible with our families, right? Like, bring everyone, and after service today, I'm going to talk to the women about how you can mobilize and be a part. And what I love about Lou and the heart of Lou is, listen, this is not like a feminist movement. If you know anything about our house, right, we believe in biblical submission, right? We believe that we need to bring the presence of God that's feminine but not feminist, right? And women that are powerful are also submitted to their spiritual authority, submitted to their husbands, right? So this move of God is not without the men, right? Parker himself will be there at the mall. And so I want to encourage you to rally your families to be there. When we saw baptism sweep Orange County, the biggest thing that grieved my heart as thousands flew in from around the nation were those that lived down the street that missed it. And I just want to encourage you, there are moments in history where we get an invitation to be part of something historic. And I just want to say, you can miss it. You can actually miss it. You can miss the revival you've been praying for. And so just don't allow something silly like a busy schedule to get in your way, right? Also, I know for me, I'm like a faith person. Something about seeing a million people stand together at the National Mall praying for the sake of our nation just gets me fired up, right? I'm like, could you imagine what news is going to spread that maybe Christianity's not dead in America? Right? Maybe people need to see on the news feeds, on CBN, on MSN, to see that actually Christians are powerful, that we're not hidden in our prayer closets, but we actually will fight for the sake of this nation that was established as one nation under God. Right? Don't believe the lie that your Christianity needs to be segmented to this church. Right? Don't believe the liar. You are meant to be a Christian everywhere you go. And so when things don't look like the kingdom of heaven, it's our job and our responsibility to bring light where there is darkness. Amen? Okay, so if you are a woman especially, I'd love for you to stay after service and I can talk to you a little bit more about how you can be involved. But first involvement is prayer. So every Sunday night we've been gathering to pray. I brought a really big water bottle, and it's too big to fit in this cup holder. So in the future, I need to just bring a tiny one. Or if you can find me a tiny one, that's awesome, because that's annoying. But every Sunday night, we've been gathering to pray at the farm because why? The Lord has told us to. And the Lord has told us that we are birthing a prayer movement here in Wilmington. And so sometimes I love the forerunners, the pioneers that see in the spirit first what the Lord is doing. But I want to encourage you, come. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come learn how to pray prayers that work. Come learn how to tap into what the Holy Spirit is doing. I love our prayer meetings at 8 a.m. every Sunday here at this church. Why? Because we tap into what the Lord is doing in the body of Christ, right? I always tell people, if you want to grow in the prophetic, join the prayer team. Because where does the prophetic start? It's hearing the voice of God. So prayer is the birthplace of the prophetic. So I would encourage you, if you think you're a prophet and you're not in prayer, you might be off a little, right? Because prophets pray, and this is a prophetic house, this is a prophetic church. And so I want to encourage you. I believe the Lord is increasing our capacity to pray. William Seymour, who led the Azusa Revival, he said that he was desperate for more of God. He was desperate. He knew that there was more available. And so he set aside on his calendar 3 to 4 hours a day to pray. And as he did that for a year and a half, he saw the dunamis power of God, the presence of God increase. And it was like all of a sudden things started clicking in and working. And right, he was like, I want more, God. I know there's more available. The Welsh revival was breaking out. Evan Roberts in Wales was leading a massive revival where bars were being emptied out because the presence of God was so tangible. Who wants to see that in Wilmington? Okay, do you guys know that that's actually available to us? Right? This isn't just like, woohoo. Right? But there are things that we have to do. Right? We sang it this morning. I loved it. It was like, when God moves and his people pray. Right? But sometimes we're just waiting for God to move and we won't pray. Right? Or we're just praying and we're not praying his will, so he's not moving. Right? But if those two come together, every promise is yes and amen. Right? But what happens is both need to happen. Every revival in history was preceded by prayer. Every single one. I've studied every revival in history. Every single one. A small group of people filled with faith decided to gather and pray when they saw nothing happening. And so we are encouraging you to come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. Listen, guys, we already see the fruit of our prayer. These people are praying with no fruit. We're seeing people at the RV park getting saved and set free. We have a new kinship group led by the Savelys in an RV park, and families in the RV park are getting saved, set free, and delivered. Why? Because they just said yes. The Savelys said yes to their assignment, and they decided that God would move, and they would pray. And now we're seeing salvation move in the RV park. Why not your workplace? Why not Mayfair? Why not Wrightsville? Why not Leland? Why not Bergal, right? What we just need is people that believe the word of God. That's it. Okay? So this message, I have a message title. I didn't give it to Angel, but I have a message title because we're in Acts, and it's called Magic and Motives. Magic and Motives. And I asked Parker, I was like, is there anything specific you want me to preach in Acts? And he said, he's like, you know, we're like in this general area. And I was like, have you preached yet from Acts 8? Because I had been traveling a little bit. Myself, Jess, and Sav, we were just in Kannapolis, which is near Charlotte, preaching at Ark Fellowship's Women's Conference. And it was so powerful. The entire Women's Conference got baptized. Which is amazing. I've never seen more deliverance in my entire life, except for in Houston. So it's like my second most deliverance, but there was vomit everywhere. Thank you, Jesus, for this nasty assignment. And the water was gross. I was picking Band-Aids out of the water. And I love that the Lord has given me a ministry that crucifies my flesh more than any other ministry. I was like, this is so gross. Every time I put my hand in the water, I can't see the bottom. But it's amazing to see people walk into the fullness of what God has for them. Even the band and the media team got baptized. And I was like, come on, Jesus. And I love that the Lord has given us the opportunity here at Salt to have a local church body that is full of the Holy Spirit, that teaches the word, that has kinship groups that pastor you. right? And then he's also given us a national assignment. And I think it's such a privilege that Parker and I get to go to other churches and sow in, right? And I just want to encourage you, don't ever take for granted what the Lord has given us here. So Acts chapter 8, verse 4. All right, so I am a huge fan of Philip. Anyone else like Philip? Yes. Angel's like, yes. All the evangelists are like, yes, Philip. Okay, Philip is one of those cool people in scripture because it just feels like he has the craziest stories. Like the man at one point teleports. I don't know if you've read that. But I'm like, this is pretty, and I literally said to Parker, I was like, did this really happen? Like, can we just talk about that for a moment? Like, he literally just teleports to another city. Like, there's some weird stuff in the Bible, right? But Philip is one of those fiery evangelists, and I just love it. It's like what he does just works. And so it says, Acts 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered, say scattered, went about preaching the word. I just want to encourage you right here that you may feel scattered, but you are actually on an assignment. You may feel like you've been displaced. I know there's lots of people in this church that have come from a different region other than Wilmington, but you are not scattered. You are sent, right? Those on mission know their assignment no matter where God puts them. And I love that in the scattering propelled the preaching of the gospel. Right? They didn't say, oh, woe is me. The Lord has displaced me once again. No, they saw the assignment in front of them. Right? I'm like, God, thank you for sending me to Wilmington. And I was like, we were seeing such a harvest in Orange County. But if you sent us to Wilmington, it must mean that now is the hour for Wilmington. Now is the hour for North Carolina. And I thank you, God, that you would love me so much that you would allow me to be a part of your move of God. So it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did. Listen, when you move in power, it's a lot easier to evangelize. Amen? Okay, I evangelized for years with no power. And I still won some people to the Lord, but far less than when you start to move in actual signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are the best tool for the evangelist, right? And I just want to break the lie off of you that you need to just be able to preach the gospel with words alone, right? Paul says, he says, I did not come to you with words alone, but I came to you with power. Right? And so I just want to encourage you. I know that sometimes the enemy likes to deceive us and think like, oh, you don't need that. You don't need that. Jesus sends them out, right, in Matthew 10, and he tells them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. He's like, you are now an ambassador of a new kingdom, right? So it's hard to be an ambassador of a new kingdom if you don't know how to display the kingdom, right? So first, experience it for yourself. And then share with other people what you've experienced, right? People ask all the time, I don't know if I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you'll definitely know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you're not sure, we would like to pray for you. I'd love to baptize you today and give you with absolute certainty the proof that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when fire consumes you, it has an effect. He is an all-consuming fire. And he just burns away all the bramble and dead things. You look different when you're singed. You look different when you step in a fire, right? So it says, when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, okay, saw the signs, right? So what signs did he do that convinced the crowds to get saved? You ready for this? So it tells us in the next verse, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Listen, deliverance heralded in a revival into the region through Philip. Right, now here's a problem that we have in our day and age. We think that demons coming out of people is no big deal. We think it's familiar. Why? Because of social media desensitizing us. Right? We see on social media literally people walking out of wheelchairs. We see people all the time on social media, demons coming out of them, and this is what we do. Next. Next. Maybe I'll hit subscribe. Next. Scroll along. Ooh, cute skirt. Keep scrolling. Right? Literally, I feel like social media is the number one tactic of the enemy to rob us of the supernatural that's in our midst. Right? Listen, if you want to see signs and wonders, I promise you, come to camp meeting, June 6th through 9th. You will see unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice, and you will see deliverance and healing happen with your own two eyes. I tell people all the time, if you don't know if God is real, stay a little bit after service. Come to the baptismal. Come and see. Come and witness what the Lord is doing and bring people to come and get the firsthand experience. Right? I was so tired of telling the stories of other people. I wanted that firsthand experience. William Seymour was settled for a little while with the power that he saw with 3 hours of prayer. But then he saw that Evan Roberts was moving in a greater power. And instead of getting into the comparison trap that many of us get into, it birthed hunger in him. And he said, if the Lord can do it in Evan, he can do it in me. But then he didn't get into that trap where he was like, woe is me. Instead, he said, what must I do, Lord? And that is the language of the believer. And guess what the Lord said to him? Pray more. Pray more? He's praying 5 hours a day. Was he praying more than all of us? No doubt. And the Lord said, pray more? I know for me, I'd be like, how? How do you pray more than 5 hours a day? That seems like a lot. Wouldn't you feel pretty good about yourself if you were praying 5 hours every day? I feel good about myself when I pray 1 hour a day, right? Pray more. So he said, yes, Lord. Because like Sav shared earlier, he's the Lord and we obey. And so he quit his job, because I know some of you are already thinking right now, I can't pray more. I have other responsibilities, right? We believe the lie that sleep is the most important thing we can do, right? I'm sure most of you are getting 6 to 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. If you had a revelation of what prayer did, you'd probably reschedule some things. But he says, Lord says to William Seymour, pray more. And he decides to pray more. He decides to pray 7 hours a day. 7 hours every day, William Seymour prays. He goes to LA. He gathers a prayer meeting at a little tiny shack on Bonnie Bray Street. Smaller, I've been to that house. It's actually the first place I met Lou Engel, which is kind of a weird thing. So I'm at this little tiny house, and it was so much smaller than I pictured, because you hear big stories, and they're in small places. Right? Azusa revival that shifted Pentecostalism in America started in a small shack on Bonnie Bray Street. Right? Who knows if what's being birthed on Kingsley Farms in our makeshift three-bedroom cabin that doesn't look very appealing to the eyes of man is very much the stamp of God. Right? We don't know. We can't see how the Lord does things, right? But we ask the Lord what to do and we step into the assignment, right? So what happens is he gathers a prayer meeting at Bonnie Bray House, and for a year and a half, he's praying for 7 hours a day, and the Holy Spirit descends on the place and Azusa is birthed. So much so that a massive move of God takes place and changes Christianity in America as we know it. This is the invitation of the Lord. Do you want me to tell you, though, why we don't see this all the time? We don't pray. That's it. I know everyone wants to know the secret sauce of revival. I've read all the books. I'm like, surely, Avery, there's got to be secret sauce in here, right? Like, there's something different that Finney did, right? Like, Melissa, there's got to be something different that they did. The secret sauce is prayer. it's so simple and boring. I can't believe, like, that's it. Every revival in America's history. But we're so deceived that by the things in our lives that take up the prayer time. Verse 9. But there was a man named Simon. Say Simon. Okay, this is not Simon who becomes, there's another Simon, Simon Peter. This is a different Simon. I always laugh. I'm like, some of the things that you read online, they're like Simon versus Simon. It's like this like battle of the people in the Bible. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria. Okay, really quick, I just want to point this out. We are in the age of witchcraft. We truly are. We are in the age of New Ageism and witchcraft. It is more prevalent than ever before. People are very proud now to be Satanists. It used to be a secret thing, right? The Satanists have clubs in our schools now. Just want to give you guys a temperature of the culture that we're living in. You're like, well, I don't need to be in Washington because there's a Satanist club in your school. Like, that's why you have to be at Washington. That's why you have to fast, and that's why you have to pray, right? Like, this is the culture we're living in right now. We are in Babylon, people. Like, wake up, pay attention. And so what happens is throughout TikTok, you can scroll in. I hate TikTok. Sorry, Sav. I don't know any of the trends on TikTok because I actually can't stand to be on it. It makes me physically feel ill because there is so much witchcraft on it. I scrolled and I said to Parker, I did 5 like explore scrolls. 3 out of the 5 were New Age. 3 out of the 5 were about manifestations. Guys, our next generation is being baited in witchcraft more than any generation before. When I was growing up, if you did witchcraft, you were a freak and a weirdo. Like, it was not cool or popular. Like, they were the people that shopped at Hot Topic and liked the Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, that was the demo. I'm being real. And now it is cool and trendy. You're the vibes girl, right? The crystals girl. You made your boyfriend happen. Like, that's the aesthetic now that the next generation is being taught. We are in the age of witchcraft. And there are many people that are in that age that are going to get saved and set free, right? But here's a problem, okay? I want us to be on our front 2 feet about this. Okay, so people were amazed, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention. The currency of every day is attention, right? The people all paid attention to Simon, right? From the least to the greatest. Okay, listen, on TikTok, right, on social media, we have witchcraft luring in multimillionaires, right? I was showing Parker the other day, there was this like mastermind course, and they're like, you are great, you are amazing, you are called to great things. I was like, that's Satanism. That is literally Satanism, and people are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to get into the swirl of witchcraft. You are not great. You need a savior. They all paid attention from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a power of God that is called great. Okay, great right there is in a capital letter. That means it's a spirit. It's someone's name. That's why it's in capitalization in scripture. He is called great. There is a spirit. Hear me. Holy Spirit, come. There's a spirit on this earth called great, and it is not the Holy Spirit. Some of those that you are learning from and gleaning from have called themselves great or successful, and they're operating under demonic powers. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to receive. Everything I'm going to say to you right now is pushing against your flesh. Push in. Let the Holy Spirit give you the truth. And they paid attention to him. Okay, again, the currency of attention. Because for a long time, he had amazed them with his magic. Okay, But when. Who loves the but whens in the Bible? I love the but whens. It's like that interruption into culture, right? But when Salt Church came into Wilmington, but when Hannah and Seth and Sav got onto TikTok, right? And these people, but when the believers start showing the real thing, come on. But when they believed Philip as what? What did he do? He preached good news about what? Not himself, but about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Be careful of those that call themselves Christians, but are only telling you how great they are. Philip came with the real thing. He came preaching about the good news, preaching about Jesus, what the Lord was going to do, right? And what happened? They were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself, Simon the sorcerer, now is baptized because he believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. So Simon the sorcerer is now part of Salt Church. He's a part of the local church body. Do you hear what I'm saying? He got saved after service. He went and got baptized, right? He's like, Philip, I'm on your team. I'm on the kids team now. Like, he's ready to go. He's like, I'm a Christian now. I'm ready to go. And that's what we want. But here's a little problem. And this is where we need kinship groups and discipleship in the body of Christ, right? This is why we started a church after seeing revival, right? Because here's what happens, and this is the plague of the charismatic movement, okay? There's some of you guys, you're so deceived by what you see on social media. Don't believe everything that you see. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Miracles, signs, and wonders amaze you. Why? Because they're amazing. They're amazing. I watched someone come out of a wheelchair after being baptized, and I was amazed. I ran around the room, and that's an appropriate response. Someone having cancer come off their face is amazing. Right? Like, you should celebrate. We want people to not have demons in them. Come on. It's amazing. The kingdom of God is amazing. This is what we have access to. Christianity is not boring. It's amazing. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, some good gossip starts to spread. They're like, there's something happening in Wilmington. Something's happening, right? People start talking about what's happening. They sent to them Peter and John. These are like the big dogs. Like, Peter and John are coming. Like, registrations go up. It's like super exciting. Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. What? They're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, and demons come out, and they still have not even received the Holy Spirit. Guys, listen to what I'm saying. That means if you have received the Holy Spirit, that's base level. You can do all of that even without the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Philip was evangelizing in power and yet could not impart the Holy Spirit? I know it's crazy. This is what the Bible says. This is why we read it. It's so insane what it says. And that's why I think all the time when we go and baptize people and pray for people, they're like, this baptism's different. And I'm like, because when you got baptized into Jesus, but you did not receive the Holy Spirit. Right? And when we baptize you, we baptize you in water, and we believe that Jesus, the Son of God, who has died and risen again, who's ascended and ruling and reigning, is baptizing with us. And John the Baptist says that he will baptize you in fire and the Holy Spirit. So that is our faith when we baptize people, and that is why it's different. So they came down and prayed for them, and they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized. Do you guys see this is right in the Bible? Many in America have only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you in this room have only been baptized in the name of Jesus. and you're wondering why your Christianity is so hard, why getting over sin is so hard, why it's hard to even wake up in the morning and read your Bible. Guys, reading your Bible is the worst without the Holy Spirit. You fall asleep. It's like, what does this even mean? But with the Holy Spirit's like, this is important. Circle this. Pay attention to this. Because why? Because it's living and breathing and alive. It's more active than any other thing in your life. It has power. The Word of God has power when you're full of the Holy Spirit. And He's our teacher, our counselor. We need the Holy Spirit. And it says, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Okay, saying, give me this power also so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. This is where magic and motives are incredibly important, because some of you are wanting things to come to pass in your life and your motivation is wrong. And so he says this. Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. Ready for this? Here's why. Why can he not move in dunamis power? Why? It says, for your heart is not right before God. Okay, do you want to know the secret to prayer? Only in the place of prayer, in the secret place, can the Lord tap on those things in your heart. You can do the work. You can run a Fortune 500 company, and your heart could be hard. It's the invitation of the Lord. I've been doing these two-mile prayer walks with the Lord, and the first 45 minutes, I'm going through my to-do list, right? It takes me about 45 minutes, and I'm walking, and I'm thinking about all the things I got to do, trying to get Madison to fall asleep. But I always tell Parker, it's the walk back home where the real power comes. After I've gotten through my whole to-do list, gotten through all of my thoughts, all of a sudden I start to hear the voice of the Lord. And he's like, man, why did that conversation hurt you? Let's talk about that. Hey, what's going on in here? Let's deal with some things. But it takes time in prayer to get that deep work done. I said to Parker, I was like, man, I'm so glad that I didn't just pray for 45 minutes. Because I would have missed all the depth. The first 45 minutes was me talking at God. It was the walk back home, that extra step, where all of a sudden then I get to allow the Lord to heal me, to deal with me. He works on trust. He builds up your faith. He starts to show you what he's doing. Vision and revelation, prophetic words start to come, right? But it takes time. Right? Like everything in life. They say, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. And here's the invitation. Here's the difference between discernment and accusation. Okay? Discernment notices a motive is wrong. So I tell Park all the time, it's sometimes hard for me to be in church because I have very high discernment. So I can feel everything. Like I feel all of you. I can feel the stuff you're wrestling with. I can feel if you are praying or not. Like I just feel it. And it's sometimes overwhelming to me a little bit. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with all of these feelings, right? And sometimes with discernment, anyone feel like they have the gift of discernment in the room? Sometimes it's easy to get into a critical spirit. Right? Because you're noticing things, and then we want to sometimes criticize. Like, why is that person acting controlling? Why are they acting manipulative? Why are they acting depressed? Like, what is that, right? And then we can partner with accusation, right? And we know in Revelation 12 that there is one that's the accuser, and that's Satan, right? So if you're ever partnering with accusation, you're not on God's side. You're in the partnership seat with Satan, right? But discernment is a gift. Why? Well, we see in verse 22, so that there's an invitation for repentance. And those who love invite in deeper. Those who love see restoration. Those who love call people into repentance, right? They don't say, I'm making up something. This is not like Ashley at all. So I'm using her as an example because she's not like this. But like, imagine if I was discerning over her, like she's being very controlling, right? Accusations like Ashley is very controlling, right? I see this control thing all over her, right? And then I'm going to separate her and isolate her and break off connection to her. And now you're operating as a disciple of Satan, right? Now, this is what we are called to do in Scripture, right? The motivation is always the heart. So we call, we build up, we lift up, we draw in. Ashley, have you noticed? Is there any fear that you have that you feel like you need to control things? Let's pray through this. Let's identify what's going on here. Okay, do you want to be controlling? Because listen, no one wants to have a Jezebel spirit. Is anyone like, I want a Jezebel spirit? No, guys, no one wants to be mean. No one wants to be controlling, right, or divisive. When we are like that, we're just deceived, right? If you said to anyone, like, do you want to be this way? Most people will be like, no, I don't, right? But what we do sometimes in the body is we deal with flesh things and we don't get to the root, and then we separate and ostracize instead of pulling them in and building them up, right? It says in 1 Corinthians, it says, pursue love, right? That means when you identify something, you press in, right? And you build up, right? Every single spiritual gift is called to give us edification in the church so we build one another up in love, right? That verse that's used all the time in 1 Corinthians 13 for weddings, right? Love is patient, love is kind, right? That doesn't just mean for your husband. People use that for weddings. It's actually about the body of Christ, right? It's saying, listen, pursue love, pursue patience, right? Pursue love. Actually actively engage. Encouragement for you guys. Every morning, something you could do is say, Holy Spirit, right now, show me one face of someone in Salt Church. Show me how to pray for them, and I'm going to send them a text message and prophesy over them. That's what it looks like to be actively engaged, right? To pursue love, right? The gift of prophecy is meant to build up, to exhort, not to show how prophetic you are. Listen, if I'm prophesying from this stage and I'm not prophesying via voice memo throughout the week, I'm in error. Do you hear what I'm saying? What I do in secret matters more than what happens here. So it says this, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Rick, can you come up? Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see, okay, so now he's using that gift of discernment. He's saying, for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness, which is like the bile in your stomach. Like you are in like that sick swirl of bitterness. Guys, I can't tell you, offense and bitterness welcomes demonic activity more than anything else. Forgive quickly. If there's someone in this church that you have a case against, bless them quickly. Why? Because every place the enemy gets a foothold is in that bitterness, in that offense. Why? Because it's the opposite of love. It says, and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, I actually love this answer. Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. He's like, oh no. And he knows, okay, ready? Even Simon the sorcerer knows the power of prayer. He's like, pray for me so that nothing that you just said happens. He's like, reverse the curse. Prophesy over me. Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Okay. I told Craig this morning, I can feel in the spirit the people that are coming. And I can feel them coming to the farm. I can feel them coming to this church. I told Parker, I'm like, I can sense how much we need to prepare the nets, how much we need to like clean up house a little bit. And I've been just meditating on 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And I know every single one of you is called. You are anointed. I've been telling the girls that I disciple, like, do not give the enemy an inch right now in this hour. You cannot afford to be deceived right now, right? Like, let's just make this super clear. You are called by God and anointed by God to preach the gospel. And every single one of you, everyone from Craig to Tammy to all of you, have been given spiritual gifts if you're a Christian. So in kinship group, I told our kinship group leaders, we need to identify those gifts. We need to draw them up. We need to draw them out. We need to get them multiplied right now. Why? Because the people are coming. And I said to Craig, I can feel them coming. And he goes, you know, when a freight train is coming, you can hear it from a long way off. Why? Because it's breaking sound in the atmosphere. And you can hear that breaking sound of the train that's coming. Salt Church, the train is coming. The train is coming. And we need all hands on deck. So if you need to forgive someone after the service, go and forgive them. And that doesn't mean that you need to have a conversation with them about all the ways they disappointed you. You can actually just say, Holy Spirit, I release them. I release them of the debt that they owe me. Holy Spirit, I break every lie from the enemy, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called me, you've equipped me. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given me spiritual gifts. If you don't know what gifts you have, ask someone on the ministry team to tell you. We have a prophetic church, and they can say, this is what you're gifted in. And here's a little clue. It's the ways that you love people. Right? How you love people in this church is the best spiritual gifts test. Right? You're like, I'm prophetic. Do you prophesy? Do you build up? Do you encourage? Right? If your gift is healing, do you pray for those who are sick? If your gift is generosity, are you strategically asking the Lord how to multiply and increase your finances so that you can build up the kingdom of God? The best gifts are the ones you do. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that every person in this church has spiritual gifts. God, and I ask right now that any motives or motivations right now you would bring into the light. I thank you, Lord God, for our kinship groups where people are pastored and trained and equipped, that every single person in this church would be doers of the word and not only hearers of the word, deceiving themselves. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are calling us up and you are calling us out. So Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that you show us what we need to do to tend to the nets. I thank you that you've given this church, Salt Church, the invitation to mobilize prayer and intercession, because every single time in history, there's an invitation to intercession. You're giving us truly an invitation into revival. And we say yes, Lord, to the invitation, and we will not despise the days of small beginnings. But I swear, Lord Jesus, I pray that myself and my family and my household and everyone in it and everyone in this house of God, that we would come into eternity and know that we did not withhold anything from you. Rearrange our time, our money, our calendars. Show us, Lord God, how to keep clean hands and a pure heart, that we would give you all of the glory, all of the honor. For the last year, I've been singing through my house the song that Vic sang, and I asked her a few weeks ago on Good Friday to sing it. But I just want to sing this over you, because I just feel like this is the word of the Lord for us right now. And it just says, we give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. God, let that be true in us. We give you praise. We give you praise, God. We give you praise. Let us start every day with thanksgiving. We give you praise, God, and we give you all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. I live for you, Lord Jesus. I live for you. I just hope every day it can delight you, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, for Salt Church. You know, as I was sharing, I believe that there are some of you in this room, and you've been a Christian in words alone, but not by your heart, not in deeds. Your life is still your own. And I just want to give you an invitation this morning to actually truly live for him. Live transformed by his Spirit. Live a brand new life empowered by Christ Jesus. Jesus actually died for your sins and actually rose himself from the dead and is alive, and he is with us, and he is working in us and working through us. And so if you want to follow Jesus, not in just your words alone, but if you actually want to live your life as a Christian, as a believer is one who believes. Like one who reads the Bible and says, I believe it. Even if I don't see it, I believe it. If you want to live that Christian life, not the one you've been sold, but the real Christian life right now, lift your hands up now. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord God, that you're calling us in. And I ask and inquire for every single one of you, if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, be baptized today. Don't wait until June 6th or June 9th at the camp meeting to be baptized. We actually need you to pray for other people then. Come be baptized today so you can be on the ministry team tomorrow. We break off delay, we break off excuses, we usher you into the fullness of your calling. So Holy Spirit, draw them into the water today to be baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this church. Thank you, Lord God, that you're entrusting us to more. Check the motives of our heart, Lord God. I pray that we would have such a loving church that pursues love, that builds up, that when you need to call someone into repentance, there's trust. That you've given them 100 encouraging prophetic words first, and then you say, I notice there's some bitterness. Let's deal with this. Let us love first and call into repentance second. Thank you, Jesus, for your bride. Thank you for this church. I thank you that you've given them gifts, and we ask that you show them how to use them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.